Blog Talk Radio.
I think Bishop is having difficulty, so I'm going to just start the program.
That's fine.
We're still waiting on Bishop. Okay, this studio, what happened?
Is he up?
I don't know. I'll find out what's going on.
Do you need me to do anything?
You know what? I'm going to, yes. Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Every Man Standing in His Place. We are waiting for our anointed guest. But right now, we have another young man who is standing in his place right now. His name is Minister Adam Tuggle. So, Minister Tuggle, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your program and what you've been teaching on.
Yes, ma'am. First of all, my name is Minister Adam Tuggle. I am the host of the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on the Spirit Alive Network and on Blog Talk Radio. The things that we have been talking about on the Summit, we have been talking about true love and the unconditional love of God. As well, we have also talked about having faith in God and making sure that our faith is connected with God. Sometimes we have people, they say that they believe, and when their faith is tested, they kind of wither away. They kind of go the opposite way. They kind of sometimes they want to, some people, they try to fix the situation themselves, and some of them just walk away from what they have been taught or what they believe. And the thing is that we have to have faith. We have to have faith in God in every situation, especially since we have entered into a new year. And this program is for everybody, but it is standing out for the men. Us as men, we tend to want to, you know, stand on anything that we can to get us through. And as men, we are protectors, we're providers, we are the person that is there, try to be there for our spouses, for our children, and we are looked at more as being the protector and the provider and the nurturer. As far as men's standards. And we lean to something that will get us through. We lean to something that will give us more strength. And us as men, we need to lean more to God. The Bible lets us know that we as men have to be the strong vessel thing that we do. Ministry in our family, in our raising our children, being a husband, whatever we do, we have to have faith in God in everything that we do. Amen. And
amen.
We have to walk in faith. the Bible lets us know that faith without works is dead. We have to walk in faith. We have to go in into situations in our lives. We have to show that we have the faith when we go into different situations in our lives, whether we be by ourselves, or whether we have a companion, whether we have children, whether we don't have children. Every situation that a man goes through, they are looked at as being the provider, being the counselor, being the, and I say counselor because my own father, Pastor William Tuggle, he has not stopped fathering me, and I'm 35 years old. He still gives me advice. He still he tells all his children all the time, I'm here to advise you. You don't have to take the advice because you're grown, but I'm still here to give you advice. And I can honestly say, and I've said it on my show before, that everything that my father, and this is personally me, everything that my father has told me has been 100% correct. He has never told me anything wrong. And I go to him for guidance, and that's what we need. As men, we got a lot of men that are not being held accountable. We have a lot of men that are not being held accountable for their actions. We have a lot of men that are that thinks they are men, but they are actually boys. And I'm gonna dive deep into that.
A little bit later.
But we have a society that has taken this man role and has said that and flipped it from what God says the man's role is. The society has flipped it and says that if you make a baby, you're a man. If you are, if you are doing whatever you're big and bad enough to do, you're a man. If you got multitudes of children, you're a man. If you're out there selling drugs, you're a man. If you're on your hustle, you're a man. That does not make you a man. Age does not make us men. It is the responsibility and the accountability that we take as men that makes us a man. I know some 30, 40, 50-year-old boys, 60, 70-year-old boys that think they're men. But what is a man? A man is a man. What makes a man is, one that fears God. Fears God, and I don't mean trembling in your boots. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are being led by His Spirit in everything that you do, whether it be business, whether it be spiritually, whether it be raising children, whether it be leading your family, whether it be being a husband to your wife. It takes us having a relationship with Christ to be able to do all these things, to be able to have strength to be able to do all these things. Why? Because God has given us the strength. We can't move. The Bible lets us know that we can't move, we can't breathe, we can do nothing without Him. Nothing without Him can be done. Amen. And I wasn't prepared tonight. I was prepared to just listen. But
amen. Well, the Lord must have said different. Hallelujah. So we are still waiting on Bishop Lester. But one moment, please. Just continue on, dear brother. Continue on.
But as I was saying, we must as men. And this is what I'm going to say. The Bible lets us know in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that a man that provideth not for his own is worse than an infidel. Now, providing is not just financial providing. It is providing emotionally. It is providing mentally. It is providing financially. It is providing spiritually. It is providing naturally. It is providing. And us as men, we are the hunters. We're protectors. We're providers. But we can't really understand what providing is until we get that knowledge from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will teach you as a man how to provide for your family, your friends, your loved ones, provide for yourself. He will teach you how to be a man. Amen? He will teach you how to be a man, and not just a man, but a man of God. If we are being led by the Spirit, there is nothing that we cannot do as men. There is nothing that we can't overcome as men. And I see a lot of men, I know, because I go through it, and I'm going to be, on my show, I am so blunt about the things that we talk about on the summit. So I'm going to be blunt here. Me as a man, and I'm going to use myself. I have a wife. I have three children. And it is up to me. And I've told my wife this before. As a man, society does not look at her first. They look at me because I'm the head. I'm the man. I'm the provider. I'm the resource. I'm the whatever you want to call it. And I have all of this stuff on me as a man. I'm looked at first. And I have all of this stuff that I have to take care of. I have all of these responsibilities. A true man has multiple responsibilities. This is what he has. And I'm just,
amen.
For women that are listening, for men that are listening, I want you to understand this. We all have, as men, we all have responsibilities. And
amen.
We all ought to be held accountable for those responsibilities as well.
Amen. Bishop, you're on.
Well, praise the Lord, I'll tell you. Minister Tuggle, I am honored to have you to just hear the conviction with which you're stating the truth. As men, there is a lot of weight that each of us carry and responsibility, because we have accountability to God to be the covering over the women and the children that we've been assigned to. And that is a powerful privilege to have, but to understand that we're not doing that without the covering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's our master. And to know that as we submit to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are fully empowered to function in the capacity that God has designed us to function in, because we were meant to be a covering. We were meant to be protectors. We were meant to be those who are responsible. So, you know, how do you think we are, how do you think we're equipped better as Christians to meet this challenge of being in the world than those who are not born again?
Well, I think we are better equipped for the responsibility by first having a relationship with him.
Amen.
When the world and society tells you, you have to, you know, you have to stay strong. You can't cry. You can't do this. You can't do that. And you can't show, basically for men, you can't show any emotion. But I think we are better off because we can show emotion. We can, Bible lets us know that we can cast all our cares upon him. We have someone that we can go to help us get through those tough times. Because of our relationship with Christ, because we've been born again, we have a relief. We have a relief factor. So that is that. And we have different tools that we can use in the spirit, because the Bible lets us know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the what? The pulling down of strongholds. We have the word of God. We have prayer. We have fasting. We have praise. We have worship. So we have these different elements or these different tools that God has given us to be able to be equipped for the responsibility that a man carries better than the world. Because the Bible lets us know also that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So if we have him on the inside, we're better equipped than the world is. So.
Well, and you know what's fascinating is even Jesus Christ wept. It said, you know, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But what we see is he wept after he was in the process of obeying the command of his father. And you know, when you hear that your friend is sick, your response is to go to your friend, especially if you're Jesus Christ, right? But this says he didn't go until later. You know, and then when he got there, his friend wasn't just sick; his friend was dead. You know,
right?
And his friends were disappointed, and Jesus wept because of the gravity of the situation. But then he got to work. You know, and you see him get to work, glorify God, raise his friend from the dead, and draw many souls to the kingdom. And that was the thing. When they realized he was the Messiah after that, they had to put him because things were without question. They were without doubt. This is the ultimate display of power. And I think with us, it's the same kind of way is, yes, we'll have those moments of weakness and emotion, right? But after we get past the weakness and the emotion, then it's time to get to work, do what God has given you to do, and then after you fulfill the assignment, God brings the restoration. God brings the that refreshing that needs to occur. The same kind of thing happened to Jesus Christ when he was tempted by the devil, and after he had withstood the temptation by standing on the word of God and confronting the devil directly, openly, after he had succeeded, then everything the devil was trying to tempt him with, that the angels nourished him and refreshed him. But it's after we have done what God has given us to do. And it's fascinating to me because Christ tells us, he says, you're my friends if you do what I say. That's a hard position, right? That's a position that a man understands. A man understands if you do what I say, you're my friend. And if you don't do what I say, then you've got some issues.
Right. You're so right.
But I believe when the women and children that we're responsible for see us openly submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ as our master, then they understand they're required to submit to us as we submit to Jesus Christ as our master. And so it's very important for us, right? Tell me, how do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, one thing, well, first of all, how do I do what, sir?
How do you the authority of Jesus Christ as the master in your life, in your home, in such a way that your family understands it's their responsibility to submit to your authority?
Well, one thing, okay. Now, one of the things that I do is I tell them, I let my family know that when I be away, I don't let them know that. I don't let them know. Because as a husband and as a father, they look to me for the answer. And they're going to look to, as a husband and a father, I know your children look to you and your wife looks to you for the answer. So it's not good to, because they're already probably in fear or whatever you want to call it. You don't want to put them more in fear. And I believe that's a wise thing to do as a man. Be honest with them. Mm-hmm. Not saying lie to them, but don't put them more in fear than what they're already in.
Right.
What I do is that when me and my wife are discussing something about the house and I don't know the answer, I tell her, I'm going to pray about it, or let's pray about it, or everything's going to be all right. God's going to work this out. And she knows then that, okay, Adam does not know what's going on, or Adam does know what's going on, but he does not have the answer right now. So I'm going to lean and depend on whatever God says to do. Whatever God gives him, that's what I'm going to do. And this is the thing. We just dealt with a situation with one of our children. And my wife, you know, she's the mother. She's the mother hen type woman. So
right.
When children are, you know, in a bind or somebody bothering them or something like that, she goes mother hen. Like, wait a minute, you messing with my child now. But during that situation, her feathers got flustered, and I was like, you know, babe, just calm down. She was like, well, how can I calm down when this is going on and that's going on with our child and this? I'm like, babe, just calm down. I said, God's going to work this thing out. You do not have to do. You know, you can be angry. I'm angry. But we can't sin. We cannot sin. Because what we want to do with our flesh, because there was, when I heard the news of what was going on with my son, my flesh wanted to rise up. But the one thing that I told her is that when people go low, you go high. The Bible says, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You have to look to God. Even though you don't know the answer, you still have to look to the hills.
Amen.
And when I told her that, I said, baby, God, I'm going to work this out. Don't worry about it. If this person goes low, if these people are going low about our son, we're going to go high. And I said, I'm going to pray about this thing to see what the Lord wants us to do. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to lead this in a way of my flesh. I want to be led by the Spirit. And I was led by the Spirit on what to do in the situation got fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation got fixed within a day, which probably would have took more than a day.
Right.
It got fixed. And she was like, really? When I told her that the situation was there, she was like, really? And she was so shocked about it. She was like, oh, my God, I can't believe. Yeah. Because we did what God wanted us to do.
And isn't that so important because the people who are following us need to see us trusting God by seeing our open submission to the authority of Jesus Christ, right? And when they see how we trust God and we obey God by not putting our hands on the situation and letting God handle it, right? Doing what God has given us, but not doing it in our own strength, leaning to our own understanding, but just staying peaceful and trusting God. I think of the situation where Jesus Christ was carrying his cross to Golgotha, and he was literally, you know, he could no longer do it. And so he needed help. And the one who carried it the rest of the way for him was getting spit on also, was getting, you know, these insults hurled at him also. But it's fascinating because when we see our role relative to another brother who is going through the same thing we're going through, and we're able to lift, we're able to help him get the rest of the way to finishing his assignment, right? Sometimes we just need help, and we need to not be ashamed or afraid to ask for that help and understand that just like somebody helped us, when we're in the position to help another brother, we do the same thing, understanding we all have needed help at some point in time.
Right. And I like what you said, because a lot of men in today's society and even in the church, they tend to, you can't go higher than me. If you go too high, I'm gonna be like a crab and try to knock you back down. We cannot live our life like that as men. If I see you, and I'm using this as an example, if I see you struggling, it's not my job to see you struggling and, you know, you start rising up, it's not my job to bring you back down because, oh, no, this carb is going higher than me.
Well, you're all supposed to be rising together, right? And it's one of those things where when we understand we are one body of Christ and Jesus Christ is head of that body, so then none of us have any claim to anything above the neck.
Right.
We're all part of the body.
Right.
And think about it. If you hit your finger with a hammer or close your finger in the door or stub your toe, the rest of your body is impacted by the pain that that finger or that toe is experiencing, right? So when you see another Christ going through pain, your response should be just like the response of your natural body. To try to, and think about it, if you hit your finger with a hammer, all of your attention is on ministering to that finger and making sure whatever you got to do preserves the finger, comforts the finger, soothes the finger, repairs the finger, restores the finger. It's all about the finger till the finger is healed and whole so that the rest of the body can be at ease. Right? And that's how it is when we see one another and then understanding, you know what? The devil is going for everything. So if he can take it off at the head, if he can hit the head of every household, if he can hit the man in every household and get them thrown in jail, get them in the hospital forever, unavailable for the family, then he can ravage households. Because there's no covering. There's no protector. No one who is there in the business of life. And the world has sold this fool's gold. People believe that we're all the same and anybody can do this job, and it's not the truth. It says in the Word that there's a time that it seems like it's arrived, when men will not abide sound doctrine, you know? And people have a hard time with the truth and the Word that says it is what it is, right? Paul said, I would have you to know that The head of every woman is man. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3, right? Now, if you don't believe in those levels of submission and authority, then you don't understand God's design. But when you do, then you're able to fully walk in the authority that you have and know that you're covered. And the ones who need the most covering have the most covering. So God needs no covering. Christ is over God, and then man is under Christ, and then woman's under man, and then all the children are covered by woman, man, Christ, and God. That's a lot of levels of protection for the children in our household, right? But the children in the world are like walking out into a hailstorm and experiencing whatever hits them. That's a hard thing. You ever try to dodge raindrops? You can't really do it.
I've tried it as a child. Didn't work.
I thought I was doing it once. Rain was drops were so big, right? But you can't do that.
Right.
So
I was ducking and dodging the rain and couldn't even, as soon as I moved one way, the rain was coming up that way. So I came ducking and dodging.
But isn't it awesome how humility and submission to God sets us up for great glory? Because God says, as you glorify me, you too will be glorified. You'll share in that glory. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, people have settled for less for a long time. Remember with Solomon, God was moved by the fact that Solomon asked for wisdom to lead his people. He said, I'm young, I can't do this, I need wisdom. And God said, because you asked for this thing, I'm going to give you all the things you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you wealth, and I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that, right? But what was equally fascinating is that God added something else at the end that we very rarely talk about, which God said, if you obey me in all things, I'll give you long life also, right? And we know that Solomon was the greatest of all the kings and wealthy beyond measure and all this other stuff. But we also know that he died at 60 instead of 120. Because God told him, if you obey me as your father David obeyed me in all things, I will give you long life too. And Solomon decided to opt out of the long life piece and settle for 60 years instead of 120 that Moses lived, right? And you know what's fascinating to me is that because we do not humble ourselves to God, we are choosing in many cases to settle for less than what God wants us to have. And the more than abundant life is the more than abundant life for a reason. But we have to humble ourselves to God so that he can lift us up at the appointed time, right?
Right.
What are your thoughts about that kind of mentality that settles for less intentionally? Because it wasn't accidental. It wasn't that Solomon made an accident. Solomon made a decision to live 60 years instead of 120. What do you think about that?
Well, number one, a lot of us as men, we tend to, because things get hard, some of us as men, we tend to settle for, you know, what we can get. Because the life, the road called life is hard. It life wouldn't be life without hardship. We wouldn't know how good God is without hardship.
Right.
But some of us as men, we settle for less, even in our walk with Christ sometimes, we settle for, okay, I'm going to settle for the bare minimum. Such as an example, it is so easy for me to praise God at a heart level. But And I'm going to be, like I said, I'm blunt with mine. Me, sometimes, I have a hard time fasting. I love to eat. I may not look it, but I love to eat.
I wish I had your metabolism.
I may not look it, but I love to eat. And it's hard. Sometimes it is hard for me to fast. And I have to, and you know what? Sometimes, you know, some of us, we have a hard time praying. Some of us have a hard time reading the word. And we settle for the bare minimum. We're like, okay, I'm going to praise him. But, you know, when it comes to fasting, you know, I'm going to fast, but I'm only going to fast half the day. Or I'm only going to pray for 5 minutes. But if we go past the bare minimum and not settle for, okay, the little dab will do you, you know, per se, we can get so much more out of life if we don't settle for the bare minimum. If we just don't settle for the little dab will do you. If I could just, because a lot of us as men, if I could just get to the next step, I'll be all right. If I can just get my left foot off the ground and back onto the ground, then I'm all right. If I can get my right foot to the neck, I'm all right. We need to stop settling for the bare minimum and go the distance. There is a lot of athletes that will say in life, as far as, you know, working out and playing that sport, a lot of them go the distance for the love of the game, for what they're doing. They love what they do, and they go the distance. And our love for Christ should be that way. Our love for the work, our love for the kingdom should be that way. We should want to go the distance and not go the bare minimum. So that's
another example. That's a very interesting example. Remember when Moses had his first child and his son, and God told him, you're going to circumcise this child on the eighth day. And Moses' wife said, you're not doing that to my child, that barbarity. And he was going to yield to his wife's protest. And God made Moses sick unto death. And he said, you are going to circumcise this child or you're going to die. Now,
that's a good way to set that. That's a good way to sum it up.
Moses obeyed, right? But think about how many times we've been tempted in order to please the missus, right? You know God gave you something to do, and you're responsible, not her.
Yeah.
You can't say this woman you gave me, like Adam said. You're responsible to obey God. And then, as hard as it is, we want to please our wives, but if I got to choose between pleasing my wife and pleasing God, I'm pleasing God. Only because, if nothing else, the common sense of understanding that the level of accountability and pain that you're going to experience is so much greater, you know? And that is one of those things that I think sometimes we have to say, look, this isn't new. It's been going on for a long time, you know? And that's why studying God's word is so important. Because when you know none of this is new, it might be new to you, but when you study in the word, way before it gets to you, you'll know, hey, wait, this happened back here and this happened back here, and that was thousands of years ago, and it's still going on now, right? Mm-hmm. That's important.
Right. It comes, you have to have, as us as men, we have to have the mindset to be able to, we have to have the mindset to be able to go the distance,
right?
And the Bible lets us know that you know, he's able to change our mind. That's where salvation comes in at. Salvation comes to not only transform us on the inside, but it also transforms our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 lets us know that, or verse 2 lets us know that he can transform our mind. And it is, most of the time when men settle for the bare minimum, it's a mind thing. It's a mental, it is a mental thing. And when you get past that mental block or whatever that thing is that's holding you back from going the distance in Christ,
right?
Whether it be fasting or praying or whatever it might be, once you get past that mental block, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, as you brought out earlier, the Lord went the distance. So he was that example for us to go the distance in anything
right.
that we do.
I will, but thy will be done, right?
Right, right. And if we can say it just like he did, not my will, but your will be done. When I fast, I block out everything except I don't do nothing. Like literally, when I'm fasting, I try not to watch any TV except unless I'm keeping it on the news. And the only reason why I keep it on the news is because I want to know what to pray for. And that's the only reason why I keep it on the news. But when I'm fasting, I don't do anything but pray and read the word. And and you know, when I'm doing my due diligence with my job and stuff like, if I'm on my job, you know, I got to do my job, but I still have that time. I still during my break, I still take that time to go outside to my car and I pray for 30 minutes. Cause I get an hour break on my job. I'll pray for 30 minutes and I'll read the word for at least 20 minutes. And then I'll go back inside. But I'm still doing that due diligence. I got past that mental block that would tell me you can't do this. The Bible lets us know in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ that what strengtheneth me. He
Amen.
Is our strength when we're weak. He said when we're weak, when this flesh gets weak, we're still strong because we're in him.
Right.
So when we go past that, when we go past that mental block, when we go past that hurdle that's in front of us, when we leap over that hurdle and go the distance in the spirit, when we start praying in the spirit, when we start, interceding for people in the spirit, because intercession, I tell you what, a man that knows how to intercede for his family, knows how to intercede for his friends, that's a man.
Amen. Amen.
That's a man. And when you have a man leading the intercession, that's a man.
Right? That's right.
We have a lot of women in the church that are leading intercession, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we should have more men leading intercessory prayer.
Amen.
We should have more men getting up in the middle of the night, anointing their wife and their children.
Amen.
We should. Praying over our children before they leave. Before my children get on the bus or before my children leave out for school, I either anoint them or I'm praying over them.
That's
because
right.
I don't know what they're going to be faced with. I even do that with my wife. And I'll be honest with you, my mother and my father taught me that. My
right.
mother used to get up every single night and anoint each and every one of her children and anoint her husband. And I learned that from my mother. My father used to have us read Bible verses. I teach my children. We have to be the men. We have to be the head to be able to do stuff like that. We should lead intercessory prayers. We have to go the distance. We are living in the last days. We are in 2023. Now that we're in 2023, we're much closer to the coming of the Lord than we did in 2022.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but I'm getting real serious right now. We are at the brink of the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Look at what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12:50. He said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother," right? When we understand that is the mandate, to do the will of God, right? So that Jesus Christ can acknowledge us and identify with us as his brother and sister and mother. We are part of that family, and that is our place of privilege, right? So the authority that we walk in, and it's fascinating because remember when God gave the children of Israel the promised land? Well, they arrived at it. The manna stopped. The quail stopped. Then they had to go in and take dominion. They had to literally go in and occupy, meaning whoever was living in that land had to leave. And they had successfully, I think they successfully got rid of all the people except for the Jebusites in Jerusalem and the Canaanites. And those people, they turned into servants and forced labor, right? But God literally took the people who were there out. Well, they had to go in and fight them off. And then occupy a land that had houses already built, roads, all that stuff is there. It became theirs because God gave it to them and God said it was theirs, right? So when we are walking in our authority, we have to understand that we are supposed to be living a more than abundant life spiritually by having the Holy Spirit in you and have Jesus Christ as your master. And then mentally, because you're studying the Word of God, you're renewing your mind. You were talking about Romans 12:1-2, where it says we're transformed by renewing our mind. And as we're transformed by renewing our mind, all we're doing is replacing what we think, what we feel, what we understand, what we believe with what the Word of God says. Because when you look at the circumstances will lie to you all day. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear unless you're hearing from the Word, because you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, true hearing, comes from the Word of God, right? So that's why we study the Word of God, so that we can replace all the static that we're getting from the world with what the Word says is real. So we renew our mind to the Word. Now we have mental wholeness, and that prepares us to walk into emotional wholeness, which is us controlling our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, what we think and how we react, right? Bad things can happen, but our reaction doesn't have to be bad. Our reaction can be peaceful. Our reaction can be strong. Our reaction can be steady. Our reaction can be controlled, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things I found is that personally, and when you're fasting, you begin to see those things that are within you come up and out. And just like when you're going under pressure, if you're under pressure and there's something you're dealing with, right, it'll come up. If somebody smacks you in the face and you don't see that coming, you might have something come out of your mouth that you don't normally have coming out of your mouth.
Let's hope not.
Well, but I'm saying that in that situation, in extreme situations, if there are things that are not and that have not been dealt with fully, that's when they're going to manifest themselves. So have you ever heard somebody tell you don't make important decisions when you're hungry, when you're tired, or when you're in pain? Because a lot of times you'll make the wrong decision and it's going to be emotional and you're going to suffer consequences from making important decisions when you were hungry, tired, or in pain. And those are the kinds of things that when we know what the Word says, we can say, you know what, I'm going to experiencing pain, but I'm going to stay peaceful and I'm going to let God lead me. I might be tired, but I'm going to stay peaceful and I'm going to let God lead me. I might be hungry, but I'm going to stay peaceful and I'm going to let God lead me. And that's why fasting is so important, because it trains our mind to subject our body to our mind instead of our mind allowing our body to subject our mind. So it's like the tail wagging the dog, right?
Right.
You don't want the tail wagging the dog. That would look crazy. The dog is supposed to wag the tail. Well, our mind is supposed to lead the body. But if we let the body lead the mind, that's the tail wagging the dog, and that looks crazy. It is crazy. And that's why we have to get things in order. Otherwise, we'll be like the rest of these people out in the world.
Right. There is one thing I would like to say on that. If we don't deal with the things that we have deep down that we have not dealt with, because you brought it out just a couple minutes ago about, the things that we are dealing with. If we don't deal with those certain situations in our life, it will cause us to make wrong decisions. It could cause us to make wrong decisions. A good example of that is Samson. Samson had, and I'm just being blunt here, Samson had a lustful spirit in him. Samson had a lustful spirit in him, and it cost him. He was, making decisions based off of his emotions, based off of his lust that was inside of him, and it cost him his life, literally. It cost him his strength, literally.
Right.
His physical strength, his spiritual strength. It cost him. So if we, my former pastor used to say it all the time, the true man, who you are, the true man will come to the door eventually. So if you don't deal with the issues as a man, if you don't deal with those hidden issues that you don't talk about, it will cost you to make wrong decisions, no matter what.
One of the things that you'll find is that it will steal the time, and it'll steal your focus. It'll steal your energy and your resources. And you'll find that everything that you were capable of is canceled out because now you are distracted. It's like, have you ever noticed that when you're driving a vehicle, when you're driving a car, the car will go wherever you're looking? And if you're not looking at the road, if you're looking off on the side of the road, the car will start moving in that direction because you're literally going to start driving wherever you're looking, right? And so when we let ourselves get distracted by whatever, and Samson was distracted by a lot of whatever, it's hard to operate a 6,000-pound vehicle and look off to the side, right? Somebody's going to get hurt or injured. And that's what God wants to prevent from happening in each and every one of our lives. He wants us to be in control, because it's not just us in a car. We're in the car with a wife and children and people who are looking to us for an example and for covering and for protection. But if we're looking off to the side of the road with a car full of people and the car heading toward a tree, we're the ones responsible, right? And think about what happened. After Eve partook of the fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden, you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. You know what happened after Adam partook of the tree? It was over. That was it.
He came into the world.
Right. The devil knew he couldn't go straight to Adam with some nonsense like that, but he went to Eve. And then Eve used her new knowledge and persuaded Adam's sin. And then everything went left, right? So we're responsible. And when you don't understand how responsible you are, how accountable you are, then the way you
right.
make decisions as a man is not going to reflect the level of authority and accountability that God has placed in your life and on your life. And you're not going
right.
to be operating as a man. You're going to be operating as a boy. And I think of certain African societies that basically would not let a man who wasn't a man have the responsibility of a wife or children. They were not allowed to reproduce. They were not allowed to participate as a man in that society because
right.
they didn't have that in them, right? Well, spiritually,
right.
if God has entrusted you with a wife and God has entrusted you with children, then there are things that God requires of you. God requires fidelity. He requires you to
right.
be faithful. He requires
right.
you to be trustworthy. He requires you to be the leader and priest of your household. Now,
right.
a lot of women say, oh, well, when you're like Jesus Christ, then I'll do X, Y, and Z. Right? What they mean is perfect. I don't know
right.
any perfect.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, I said this on the show last year. A woman has to have, because the Bible does say, wives be submissive. Be
mm-hmm.
submissive to your own husband. But
mm-hmm.
the wife has to have something to be submissive to.
Yeah. Yes.
And if that man does not have anything, if that man, and I won't say have anything, but if that man doesn't have any substance to him to be submissive
mm-hmm.
to, that woman will not be submissive to that man.
That's true.
Because it's going to be hard to be submissive to that man.
Right.
Because they don't have any
substance. They have a saying in the world. They say if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Right. So when you stand as a man, there's something that I learned from my grandfather. He basically said the definition of a man, an acronym for a man, is meaningful, active, and necessary. A man is meaningful, active, and necessary. And as a man, in your household, especially as a man of God, you have to be meaningful. You have to be meaningfully present in your house as that covering. You have to be active in protecting your family and establishing order in your household. And you have to be necessary. And you, that without you, so many things, and not, you know, anything can happen to each and every one of us, but we should be preparing our family to be strong enough to care for themselves. So part of my charge is to make sure that, hey, if something happened to me, my wife has built enough skills and knowledge and strength to be able to keep going in my absence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I am trying to prepare as much safety and strength and experience. You know, I'm not God, but I do
right.
believe God and I do trust God. And as people see me trusting God and believing God, they too will trust and believe God as well, right? One of the problems
right.
we have, men of God, period, is if the world sees us as a bunch of beggars because we're going around begging instead of standing in our authority and walking according to the power that God has entrusted up with inside of us,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be drawn to the kingdom of God if you're just
right.
a bunch of beggars. So
right.
they need to see some action behind all of these words. And so
right.
when the people in my household understand that God doesn't let my words fall to the ground,
right,
then understand God is real. God does
right.
what, you know, when I put my goals list down and I have my objectives on side of the goals, and my kids, I have a son of mine, he was telling me how my oldest son is telling me how he remembered watching like Vanessa and I write our goals out and put them up in our bathroom in the master bedroom. And he'd come in there and throughout the year, he'd see us just scratching stuff off as it got done, right? That expectation we have to have of God, because God says when we delight in his word, then he gives us the desires of our heart. And then when we believe to the extent that we write it down and we write down how we're going to get it done, and then God lets us do it and we scratch it off, and then we move on to the next thing he's given us to do, that's just us coming into agreement with God. Now, in our households, and what I've found with my wife is when Vanessa and I are in agreement about something, it happens. When Vanessa and I are not in agreement about something, well, it doesn't happen. And that's where that verse about submitting to one another becomes so important, because Jesus Christ said, where two or more are present in my name, I am in the midst of them. And anything they'll ask of my Father, they shall have in my name. So we ask God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come into agreement with one another, and there is nothing he's going to withhold from us, right? But that principle is powerful. That principle is real. But, you know, we either got to believe or we're going to be walking around like a bunch of beggars pretending that we got power that we're not using for some reason. And God doesn't – God's being misrepresented in that respect. So we just got to get real about this and say, you know what, I believe God. I renew my mind to the word, and I repent from all the nonsense I let come out of my mouth. I repent from all the belief, all the doubt, worry, and fear. And God, forgive me, for I have sinned. Deliver me from my wicked heart of unbelief. That's what it says in Hebrews, right? Lord, deliver me from my wicked heart of unbelief. And see, that's what makes a man less than a man, less than meaningful, less than active, less than necessary. When you let your wicked heart of unbelief tell you you can't, when God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, when God says you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, and you say, oh, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you know what? And do you believe God, or do you believe what the world says about you? Because that's one of the things I have to say personally. Minister Togo, you are such an inspiration to me, because I see a lot of people in the world who appear to be blessed with so much more and so much more and so much more. They do half of what you do, and they got excuses for why they don't do what they do. And I said, look, you know what? If Minister Togo can do it, you can do it, and you're just not showing up.
I thank you for that, but it's by the help of the Lord that I'm able to do anything.
And likewise, same here, right? But that's why we have to use the power God put in us, right? We got to use what we got.
There is a scripture in the book of Proverbs that I want to read. And it's Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm just gonna read a little bit of it. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall thy add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." And I love this part right here. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path."
Amen.
This is to men. This is for everybody, but this is to men. He said, "My son,
forsake not my law, or forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments, which means what we said earlier. Do what the Lord says do. Do what the Lord says do. Whatever he says, do it. If you do that for the length of days and long life and peace shall thy add to thee. This is what we're talking about today or tonight. That if we do what the Lord says do, that peace shall be added unto us, long life shall be added unto us, as we said earlier.
Right.
We will have that. We will have abundancy. We will have that abundant life in him.
Amen.
And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, if we should stumble, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. We cannot let the mercy of God forsake us, because there's going to come a day where the mercy of God's hand is going to be taken away. But while we're living, we can't let the mercy of God, or we can't abuse the mercy of God and just keep falling down and just keep doing whatever we want to do, because we think we're big and bad enough to do it. Because
he said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother," right? Then Jesus Christ also said, "You are my friends if you do what I say." Where did we ever get the idea that we could just do whatever we wanted to do? Yes, there is new grace and mercy each and every day. But it's foolish to think that you can just flounder around wasting and squandering the power that God has placed within you on trying to impress people in the world who can't be moved by any of that stuff, because you're not going to show them anything they haven't seen before unless you are operating in the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God, submission to God, and then drawing souls to the kingdom because of your obedience to God. That supernatural power is there so that you can glorify God in the earth and do things that have not been done before. And I think so many of us, what we do is we dumb down the scripture so that we can please people instead of pleasing God, so that we can serve money instead of serving God, so that we can lean to our own understanding instead of trusting God, and we can operate out of our own limited strength, talents, and abilities, trying to, you know, just call attention to ourselves instead of operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit and saying, you know what, I don't know how it's going to get done, but God has given it to me to do, and I believe that God is going to give me everything I need to get it done. Watch. Just watch. Watch me do what God has given me to do. And when people see you trusting God, they learn that God is trustworthy and can be trusted, so that when God gives them something to do, they can trust God the way they see you trusting God. And as the head of the household, you were saying this at the beginning of the teaching, at the beginning of the discussion tonight, you were describing how it is not responsible for men to act or to fully disclose all of the danger that is around in the house. There's danger all over the house. Your job is to try to minimize that danger, control that danger, alleviate that danger, and not call attention to it to those who shouldn't have to even think about that danger, right? But it would just be poor leadership for you to go around every time something might happen, or you're calling your kids, you're going to turn your kids into a bunch of crazy people, you know, because everything is sky is falling. Remember Chicken Little? The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Right. Our kids little, right? And we can't be like that as men. We are the leaders of the household. And there, our families are looking to us to keep things under control in the worst case scenario. Meaning if everything starts falling apart, they can look to Dad and say, what are we going to do? And then we're going to look to Jesus Christ and say, what am I going to do? And then we're going to get the answer and we're going to do whatever he gives us to do, right? And our family learns to trust us because they see us trusting Jesus Christ to lead us to the answer.
Right.
And my thing is, you know, there's no better solution than that. And God gets such great glory out of us. He says he set before us life and death, and then he tells us to choose life.
Right.
For some reason, we believe that light switch has more than an up and down position. So it's either life or death. Every decision you make, life or death. And what a lot of people are doing is they're gambling. They're trying to do 50-50, you know, on, off, on, off, on, off. And that's what their life looks like, a big strobe light. On, off, on, off. Like, why don't you just leave the light on and stop playing around? or better yet, remember where God says, look, I would have you to be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And what that says to me is I want you at work, or I want you at rest. Either turn the light on and get to work, or turn the light off and rest in me. But don't like on, because that's what they're doing in the world. You know, have you heard that saying, money never sleeps, right? These people are drugged up so that they can keep going, keep going, keep going. You can't do that. You're just choosing death. You're choosing death, but you're flicking that light on and off so you have some light. But it's still just death, chaotic light. Well, you live in a strobe light. You live in a strobe light.
And you know what? I was thinking about what you said about pleasing men, a pleasing man. Do you know, and those that are listening, if you serve God, and if you serve him to the full, at your full potential, you will find favor with man. And I'm not saying it. I'm not saying anything that's not in the Word of God. It says it in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 4. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. When you please God, when you live for the Lord, you'll be able to please them. That's what favor is, pleasing. They will want to give unto you because you are pleasing them. When you are showing them a better way, show you favor. And I've lived it. I've had a friend back in the day, because of the standard that I lived in school, in high school, because of the standard that I lived, this young man defended me. And I was talking to him and another one of my friends at that time. And they invited me to smoke and drink with them. And this young man came to my defense and said, he can't do that. He's saved. And this other young man said, well, I'm saved too. And my friend said, no, he's a different type of saved. He's all the way saved because of the stance that I take. And he said, and I asked him after, you know, I told him, I asked him, I said, well, you know, so-and-so, I could have spoke for myself and told him, no, I'm not going to do that because, you know, I'm saved. He said, no. I wanted him to understand because I know sometimes that I pray, and he was a sinner, and he said, sometimes I believe that I can't get a prayer through. But when I come to you, I know you can get a prayer through for the life that you live, and I respect you for that. He said, the reason why I told him that is because I didn't want you in that because I need somebody to get a prayer through for me.
Now, not that I was going that way, but he was still taking up for me. You will have people stand in your defense when you please God.
Right, right, right.
You will have your very enemies stand up for you.
Our focus is still pleasing God. because what can happen is we can make the mistake of believing that pleasing people is pleasing God. And what you're often going to find is that when God is giving you something to do, it's causing you to have to choose, right? So when Moses was directed to circumcise his son, and his wife was saying, hey, you can't do this, Moses had to choose. Either he was going to try to please his wife, or he was going to, and he was going to die because he was that sick, or he was going to please God, circumcise his son, and get well. And that's what happened, right? And when we understand every decision we make, if we make those decisions like they're life and death decisions, it changes the way that we process the whole situation, because we're living our life for God, understanding that God is three things. He's omnipotent, means he's all-powerful. He's omnipresent, meaning he's present everywhere. And he's omniscient, meaning he knows everything, even your thoughts, right? And so when you understand that you're living openly before God, then the way that you live is different. The way that you live is more deliberate, because the a level of accountability is so high and so real. Otherwise, we do feel like we can do whatever we want. Because you don't believe God is everywhere, you don't believe God is all-powerful, and you don't believe God knows everything. But when you understand those three things fully describe God, then it changes the way that we behave, because we are living openly before God. And now I'm free. I don't have to explain myself to you if I am doing what God is going to do. And you can challenge that. But then you've got to deal with God, not me, because I'm be praying for you because I'm doing what God has given me to do, right? Now, that becomes very difficult. I'll give you a real good example is when John the Baptist was about to have his head cut off and he's in prison, and Jesus Christ is out eating with publicans and sinners and prostitutes and all this stuff. And now John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. He heard God say from heaven, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He saw the Holy Spirit that was laid upon Jesus Christ when he came up. And then while he's in jail, he sends out his boys when he hears Jesus Christ is eating with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors and all this. And he's like, are you the one we're supposed to be looking for? And Jesus Christ sent that word and said, look, if you don't believe me, believe these signs, this, that, and the other. And this is what I'm doing. Now, what will happen, people who don't understand what God is giving you to do might second guess and question what God is giving you to do. That doesn't give you an excuse not to do it. What it really does, gives them a reason to stop worrying about what you're doing and ask themselves, am I doing what God has given me to do, right? Well, we know it was at the end of his ministry, and Jesus Christ was at, you know, the beginning of his ministry, because John the Baptist's role was to pave the way for Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he did that, right? But I understand him being in his emotions in that situation. He's about to have his head cut off, right? That's a hard situation. In his mind, he's like, the Messiah should be here with me, comforting me, leading me through this affliction. Right? And he's out there eating with publicans and sinners and prostitutes and doing all this. And he's like, look, you know what? Maybe he's not even the one. And that's a hard thing. None of us have heard God speak from this guy, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he heard that. That's incredible. And so we have to say, okay, if John the Baptist can get sideways about Jesus Christ, then how easy is it for us to come into disagreement with one another over a technicality and theology? That's why we're supposed to get humble when it comes to the things of God and look for understanding as we study the word, because Christians haven't always agreed. As a matter of fact, they usually didn't. And they had to work through some stuff. But the fact is, God preserved his word over millennium so that we can enjoy it to this day, so that we can benefit
right.
from it to this day. And it's God's job to preserve it. I don't have to spend my time trying to defend the word of God. I'll give you what it says, and then you can accept it or you can reject it. And I don't have to argue about that. There was a time when I was young when I used to defend the scripture debate forever. And then I grew up. And I realized, you know what? When people taste the word of God and they see the true nourishment and nutrition and power that's there, when you let the word of God speak itself, you don't add anything to it. That's how the devil deceived Eve. He questioned the word, added a word, got a word, then changed the word, and then just not with a straight out lie and say, God didn't say that at all. The real reason is this, that, and that. You know what? We can get into that nonsense, or we can just read what's there and accept it for exactly what it says and then do what it says. And if it pans out, the promise comes to fruition because you did what it said right there, then you know that that's the word of God. If you did what somebody told you to do and it didn't work out, then, you know, that's not the word of God, because God doesn't let his words fall to the ground no more than he'll let your words fall to the ground if your words are his words.
Right.
I just want to say it's an honor to serve with you, man of God, and I hope that the next time we do one of these shows that we have a few more men on the show, because we have some things that we only men can talk about. Only men can really understand and relate to that women might think they know what's going on, but there's no way for them to know because they're not men. So we're going to have more people on this discussion in the coming weeks and months. And I know that we've got men of God who are steeped in the word, who can answer some questions and receive some additional discussion about what we have to deal with. Would you like to pray?
Yes, sir. Well, first off, I want to do this real quick. If anybody is listening, the people that are listening, I want to say this. Acts 2:38 says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to be saved. Acts 2:38, you must repent, you must be baptized in Jesus' name, and you must be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost. And so this is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. And that's it in a nutshell. Now I'm going to pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God. We thank you for this time that we have had on this topic on tonight. We thank God for this broadcast on tonight. Lord God, we thank you for bringing us together as men, men of God, men of valor, just us being men and being able to have a conversation as men, as holy men, as men that you have created. And we thank you for bringing us together. We thank you for having this conversation on tonight. We thank you for you being God and that all by yourself. We thank you for us having your word to be able to apply to as men. We thank you for your word to be able
for giving us correction as men, to giving us knowledge as men, for giving us understanding as men. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that we are able to come to you and bear all our issues, all our problems upon you, Lord God. And we thank you for the strength that you have given us. We thank you for the joy that you have given us. We thank you for bringing us over into a new year. We thank you for the new blessings that we are getting ready to receive. We thank you for you changing the atmosphere even right now, changing the situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, with every man standing in this place, be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless.
God bless you.
Bless you, man of God.